what I was going to talk about, but they sure gonna dovetail. And I trust that the Lord will help us this almost afternoon. And what time are we supposed to change it here? 4 o'clock this afternoon? Well, I can do that. It's God. Brother Tracy says, oh God. I'm glad to be here. I count it an honor to be here. And I'm so glad to see Brother and Sister Addis this morning. I appreciate these people more than words can say. He's my senior. And when I get his age, I'd like to be just like him. Great people. I'm sure glad to have my friend Brother Lee Strickler here this today. Brother Strickler, testify. Yes. Amen. Praise God. We're sure glad to have him with us. We've been friends for 40-some years, I guess. And appreciate Brother Lee. Now, Brother Meadows just preached outstanding. I mean, just wonderful. But right now, we're going to go to the classroom. And it's going to be probably more subdued. But I feel like that the Lord has laid something on our hearts to talk to you about. I really do. I wrestled with this for a while until I really said, I'll do it. We, as holiness people, how many holiness folks do we have here today? If we are not careful, we will destroy ourselves. We don't have to worry about the devil destroying us. We'll destroy ourselves. And we'll kill each other. I want to talk to you this morning for the next 3.5-4 hours, as Brother Joey Height has given me permission. But I want to talk to you about the second man. The second man. And I feel like, I really do, I feel like this is probably something that somebody else should do. But falls my lot this morning to take this subject. It's the second man is hardly ever known much about. On this chart, there's no way in the world we can do all this chart. I have no intentions to, Sister Tracy. No intentions. But I do want to deal with this area right here. And I trust that the Lord will help us this morning. We are bleeding to death. And we are going to render ourselves helpless and ineffective if we're not careful. I know I don't have the answer for everything. and the things that I will probably deal with this morning and tomorrow morning was not going to cover the subject, only just a small portion of it, but you can get the general concept. The second man, this morning we're going to talk about and read about Elisha, the servant. And so have your Bibles, first of all, let's turn and read from 1 Kings chapter 19, and beginning reading at verse 19. 1 Kings 19 and verse 19. So he departed thence and found Elisha the son of Shaphat, who was plowing with 12 yoke of oxen before him, and he with the 12th. And Elijah passed by him and cast his mantle upon him. And he left the oxen and ran after Elijah and said, "Let me, I pray thee, kiss my father and my mother, and then I will follow thee." And he said unto him, "Go back again, for what have I done to thee?" And he returned back from him and took a yoke of oxen and slew them and boiled their flesh with the instruments of the oxen and gave unto the people, and they did eat. Then he arose. Now this is, I want you to get this. If you don't get nothing else, you get this. Then he arose and went after Elijah and did what? And did what? And ministered unto him. Him. He didn't say them, he said him. Now, this word minister or ministered in this context, from what I understand from, and I'm not a Greek scholar, and Brother Wyatt is much more capable of that than I, but this word minister is vitally important to understanding what the second man is supposed to do. This word minister in this context means to attend as a domestic servant. Huh? To serve. To wait on. Now, who is he waiting on? Elijah. Come on here. Over in 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. Only want the last part of this verse, but we read the entire verse. 2 Kings chapter 3, verse 11. But Jehoshaphat said, "Is there not here a prophet of the Lord that we may inquire of the Lord by him?" And one of the king of Israel's servants answered and said, "Here is Elisha, the son of Shaphat, which poured water on the hands of Elijah." Now, I want to talk to you about the second man. And I trust that the Lord will help us this morning. You probably won't get as high as you did a while ago. You might, when I get through here, you might wish I'd have been done before I started. And I might be. But there are many, to me, there are many titles for an Elisha. And there may vary from church to church or from congregation to congregation. I put together this list, and you could probably add some more to it, and it's not limited by any means, but an associate, assistant, second man, helper, youth pastor, youth leader, deacon, elder, or director. Now, any of these could fit into this area that I want to talk about as Elisha, and certainly not limited to these nine different categories. Let's go back. Now, Brother Daryl Meadows talking about him being nervous. I feel like I'm about to shake to pieces. Let's go back and get a history lesson. Some of y'all are probably better at this than I am, but everybody knows from history who George Washington was, the first president of the United States of America. Amen. Elected by the Electoral College and on February the 4th, 1789. Unanimous. Amen. He was the first president of the United States. Served two complete terms. Now, is anybody here? Everybody remember George Washington in history? Come on here. How many of you know George Washington was the first president of the United States? Okay. How many remember who his vice president was? John Adams. John Adams was his vice president. Now, John Adams went on after George Washington ceased to be president and became the second president of the United States. Now, it is a rare thing. Go back and check history. It's a rare thing for a vice president to become president. Hello. It has happened. It does happen. Amen. George H. Bush, H.W. Bush, was vice president to Ronald Reagan. He became president, served one term as president. I don't blame him. 12 years in the White House would drive any man nuts. But vice president, come on here, is vitally important to the president. Vitally important. The election of 1860, Abraham Lincoln was elected president in his first term. Does anybody know who the second man or the vice president was in Abraham Lincoln's first term? No, Andrew Johnson was the vice president in his second term. Hannibal Hamlin. Before he became vice president, he was a legislator in Maine. He was U.S. representative, U.S. senator, governor of Maine. Amen. And after he was vice president, he went back into the Senate again. So the second man does not seem to be a person in the limelight. He is not supposed to be. Come on here. Amen. In Abraham Lincoln's second term, Brother Wyatt has accurately said, was Andrew Johnson. And he too served in the House of Representatives and Senate and Governor of Tennessee and et cetera, et cetera, et cetera, and later became the 17th president. Now, let's get a little more closer to our time. In 1952, President Dwight Eisenhower, everybody here should know who his vice president was. Anybody? Richard Nixon, later became the 37th president. Now, the first American, I'm just laying a little groundwork here. Let's get, come on here, come on here. The first American in space, does anybody here know who that was? Alan Shepard, amen. May the 5th, 1961. 15 minutes in suborbital flight. 5 of those minutes were in space flight. On January the 31st, 1971, Apollo 14 spent 33 hours on the moon. Alan Shepard. Who was his co-pilot? Anybody know? Nobody, probably. Edgar Mitchell. Edgar Mitchell.
Well, now, that seems all insignificant to what our subject matter here today is, but it's not. It is not insignificant. You see, help me here. It's vitally important in the church work that the second man understands his role and what his responsibilities are. Now, help me this morning, Lord. The church is God's institution. It is God's greatest institution. It's not your institution. I said this in my church just last Sunday. Amen. And when the men in church just crawled my frame about it, I said, this is not my church. This is not your church. This is God's church. Come on here. I said, this is God's church. Now, amen. The church, oh, God help me this morning. I'm needing help from the Lord. The church is a theocracy. The church is not a democracy. You get that? There's a difference. There is a vast difference. Amen. Webster says, theocracy is a government of a state or an entity by immediate divine guidance or by officials who are divinely guided. God called men. Come on here. Your church may hire you, but you, hey, come on here. You must understand your employer is not that church. Your employer is God. I told my church some time ago, amen, and I've wondered about it a few times since then, but it's still right. I said, I am here not to please you. I'm here to please God. Now, if in the process of pleasing God, I please you, we got a great thing going. But if I have to choose between pleasing you and pleasing God, I'm sorry, God comes first. Amen. So God's work and God's church is a theocracy. Now, a democracy is vastly different from a theocracy. Amen. Come on. I'm probably going to get in a lot of flack or trouble before I leave this convention. A democracy is a government by the people. A government in which the supreme power is vested in the people and exercised by them directly. That is a democracy. Now, God's work does not work as a democracy. Amen. Come on here. We as the shepherds do not get our orders from the people. Our orders come from God. A pastor is a God called or divinely called of God to fill, amen, the position in a church. God has an order in everything God does. Amen. God doesn't do things like we do haphazardly or hocus pocus. God has a divine order for everything that he has ever done. He brought order out of chaos in Genesis 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the face of the deep. Amen. It was total chaos. And God said, come on here. Woo! I'm feeling better myself, brother. And God said, let there be light. Before the sun was ever created, before the moon was ever in existence, God said, let there be light, and there was light before the sun was created. So God has an order out of chaos every time he does anything. Amen. When things help me here, I'm being troubled here, but y'all gonna have to stay with me until I get through. Amen. When things get out of place from the order in which God made it, it makes or becomes mass confusion. Where there is no law, where there is no order, then you have anarchy. Every man did that which was right in his own eyes. No absolutes. My opinion is just as good as yours. Your opinion is just as good as mine. Come on here. It depends on how you see it. Man, man, man. Amen. There is an order in God's book how that a church is to be constructed. Amen. There's an order among angels. I ain't going to get into that, so just leave it alone. Don't get scared. Amen. There's a hierarchy angel. There's lower angels. Amen. There's an archangel. Are y'all still here? There's messenger angels. God has an order in everything that he does. Amen. There is an order in the universe. There is laws that God put in motion in the universe itself. Amen. It's God's order of making this thing work. If the earth was to move one fraction closer to the sun or further away from the sun, amen, we would either burn up or freeze to death. God put an order in the universe. Hallelujah. Amen. There is an order in the natural laws that God put in motion. Gravity. Everything goes up must come down. When you break the law, when you break this law, this is what happens. Huh? I know. I'm going around Robin's barn to get where I want to go this morning. Amen. But if you throw something up, you are breaking the law of gravity. Amen. And when you throw it up, gravity gets a hold of it and pulls it down. That's law. That's order. That's God's doings. There is a sound barrier. Huh? What's that pilot's name from West Virginia? That broke the first sound barrier? Chuck Yeager, thank you. Amen. Amen. He tried so many times. He failed. He became afraid. Amen. And pulled his X-rocket throttle back. Come on here. Until one day he said to his colleagues and pilots on the ground, his buddies, he said, I don't know what it is out there when I get to a certain place at a certain speed. He said, the whole aircraft shakes and shudders. Amen. But he said, whatever it is out there, I go up this time. Amen. I'm going through no matter what. If it falls apart and the aircraft disintegrates, I'm going through. I've got the power, amen, in those rocket engines. And he did. Come on here. But he broke a law. I said he broke a law of God that God had put in motion. And when he did, there was an effect of it. Boom, 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 boom. All on the ground. You heard it. Come on here. Because there is a natural law that God put in motion. Help me here. I don't want to get it too much in this because somebody really hate me before I get out here. But there is an order to the family. The family unit has God given order to it. Christ is the head of the man. You believe that's a man? The man is the head of the woman. The children are, I'm not going to deal with much of that. Amen, because time won't permit us. I just want you to understand that God gave an order for everything. I remember years ago,
an older preacher was pastoring a church somewhere, as Joey Height would say, in these United States of America. And he was preaching on the order of the family. He's talking about the man being the head of a woman. Now, I want to tell you, God didn't expect you to keep a baseball bat and hit your wife over the head. Your wife is your helpmeet. I don't want to go no further with that. I'm going to leave that right there. But he was preaching along these lines as the order of the family. And the husband being the head of the wife. And this woman sat on the back seat with her husband. And she blurted out to that old gray-headed preacher. And she said, "Yes, but the neck turns the head." The wisdom of that old man, I've never forgotten. He looked at her and he said, "Ma'am, I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the brains is not in the neck." Woo! Glory to God. There has to be order in the church. For it is God's greatest institution along beside the family. The church is made up of families. And they too work in harmony together. Now, in the church, oh God help me, and now I'm about to get where I want to go. In the church, the pastor, which is the under shepherd, under Christ, the great shepherd, he is the physical head of the local church. And don't fall out with me. I know how some churches operate in these United States of America, and I ain't fussing with them. Amen. But they got a problem. They're out of order with the scripture. The church is not to be run by the board. The pastor is the physical head of the local church. Amen. Now if by chance that pastor commits sin and becomes immoral, and sometimes it has happened, then, amen, that pastor has to be dealt with in a legal sense and in a scriptural order. Somebody say amen now. But if he is a godly man with God's work at his heart, then he must be respected and honored. Now, I want to tell you, honor and respect is not something you get on demand. It is earned. The pastor is the physical head of the church. The church, the local church, cannot have and survive with two heads. Somebody said, "Well, I'm the co-pastor." But you are not the pastor. There's a Bible principle. I want these brethren, each one of these brethren, can they get a mic? Amen. And I want them to read some scriptures. And I'm already past where I needed for them to read, perhaps. But I want them to start reading the verses. Amen. I want the brother to read Jeremiah chapter 3 and verse 15 and chapter 23 and verse 4. If you want to follow on this chart, you'll notice right here, hey, this is God's man. You believe that? Say amen. Amen. The pastor is God's man for this congregation. I mean, he is the head of this whole system. Amen. All right. Read Jeremiah chapter 3, verse 15.
"And I will give you pastors according to mine heart, which shall feed you with knowledge and understanding."
In chapter 23, in verse 4.
"And I will set up shepherds over them, which shall feed them, and they shall fear no more, nor be dismayed, neither shall they be lacking, saith the Lord.
Saith the Lord. Now I want to tell you,
thank you, brother.
I want to tell you, this is God's doings. This is not your doings. This is God's shepherd. God said, I will set shepherds. I will set pastors. I will speak to them.
Come on here.
Ezekiel. All right. Ezekiel chapter 33, verse 7 verses.
Again, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, speak to the children of thy people, and say unto them, When I bring the sword upon a land, if the people of the land take a man of their coast and set him for their watchman, if when he seeth the sword come upon the land, he blow the trumpet and warn the people, then whosoever heareth the sound of the trumpet and taketh not warning, if the sword come and take him away, his blood shall be upon his own head. He heard the sound of the trumpet and took not warning, his blood shall be upon him. But he that taketh warning shall deliver his soul. But if the watchman see the sword come and blow not the trumpet, and the people be not warned, if the sword come and take any person from among them, he is taken away in his iniquity, but his blood will I require at the watchman's hand. So thou, O son of man, I have set thee a watchman unto the house of Israel. Therefore thou shalt hear the word at my mouth and warn them from me.
Just stay right there. This man has an awesome responsibility. Now, it will depend upon the eternity and where these all spend eternity as to how this man leads and preaches and directs these people.
Absolutely.
Now, I want to tell you, I am the pastor of the church where I pastor.
Absolutely.
But I am not pastor of anybody else's church. Woo! Somebody say amen now.
Amen.
Now, oh, God help me, I'm in trouble. We do have differences from churches to churches.
Well, sure.
One pastor may be tighter on some things than another pastor.
That's right.
Or one pastor may be a little looser and allow some things that I would never allow in my congregation. And I've had some of my church people question me about that.
Yeah, me too.
How about that, Brother Savage? Yeah. This is my answer. I am not responsible for them or their congregation. I am only responsible for these that are under my care.
That's good.
As long as they are under my care. I appreciate what Brother Mehta said this morning.
That was good.
Yeah. Amen. All of us at some point in time have had people to leave us and go to other churches. What about that? As long as they are under my care, I'm responsible. But whenever they go to, I start to say Jack Daniels again. I better get off of that. Whenever they go to John Doe's church, I cease to be responsible. It's no longer my problem. But I am responsible as long as they are under my care and they have become my responsibility. Now, I must answer to God how I lead this flock. I must answer. Now, that is an awesome.
Wow.
Awesome responsibility. Now, let's go to same book, chapter 44, verse 23 and 24.
And they shall teach my people the difference between the holy and profane.
Now, wait a minute. They shall do what?
Teach my people.
They shall what?
Teach.
They shall what?
Teach.
Teach my people.
The difference.
Now, here's where the rub comes in. They shall teach my people. A lot of folks want to be taught, but they want to be taught what they want to be taught. And not always what they need to be taught. He said, they shall teach my people between
the difference between the holy and profane.
Profane.
and cause them to discern between the unclean and the clean.
Now, this next verse, I think, is vitally important.
And in controversy, they
in
shall...
In what?
Controversy.
In what?
Controversy.
In controversy, when there is a question.
Mm.
Come on here.
Yeah.
Amen. Where there is a question, where something is totally unsettled, if there is no exact scripture that you can pinpoint and say this is black and this is white in a controversy. Come on here.
And in a controversy they shall stand in judgment, and they shall judge it according to my judgment.
Amen.
And they shall keep my laws and my statutes and in all mine assemblies, and they shall hallow my Sabbaths.
Amen. Now, I'm giving you all these verses of scripture in relation to this man right here because I want you to understand the importance of this man. This office, this position in the church is the, can we say it in everyday term, the buck stops here?
Yeah.
Right there.
Right.
Where there is a controversy. Ben Horton is here this morning. He was my assistant and my deacon for a number of years. And a good one. Praise God. I'm glad to give that report.
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. And when he was younger, he went to one of my board members who at that time was a pretty young man himself. He's probably the youngest man on the board at that time. Let the other brethren come on, come back to you.
Okay.
Amen. He said to this younger board member, he said, now, what about this and this and this and this? And the board member said this, and I loved it. I've never forgotten it. He said, as long as you come to this church, you are responsible to live by the way this pastor teaches. Oh. Wow. Man, did you get that? Now, if you go to somebody else's churches, he's no longer responsible. But if you go to this church, you are responsible, and you must answer to God in the day of judgment how you respond to the ministry that God has placed over you. Somebody say amen now. I lost some of you right there. Acts chapter 20 and verse 28.
Take heed, therefore, unto yourselves and to all the flock over which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood.
Amen. Romans chapter 10, verses 14 through 17.
How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? How shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach except they be sent?
God called.
Yes, sir. As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. But they have not all obeyed the gospel, for Isaiah saith, Lord, who hath believed our report? So then faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God.
That's a wonderful verse. All of them are.
Yes.
There's been many, many years ago, I was preaching, and this lady came to me after service, and kind of half jokingly, I guess she was joking. She said, Brother Savage, I love you preaching, but you're the ugliest thing I've ever seen. She wasn't teasing. I said, sister, you're looking at the wrong end. The Bible said, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 7 and verse
17. Remember them which have the rule over
Careful.
You, who have spoken unto you the word of God, whose faith follow, considering the end of their conversation. Verse 17, obey them that have the rule over you, and submit yourselves, for they watch for your souls, as they that must give account, that they may do it with joy and not with grief, for that is unprofitable for you.
Amen. Thank you. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 2, 3, and 4.
Verse 2 says, Feed the flock of God, which is among you, taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of a ready mind. Neither as being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, you shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away.
Amen. Thank God. Isn't that wonderful? Amen. Now, let's come back, Brother Baker, to 1 Thessalonians. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 12 and 13.
And we beseech you, brethren, to know them which labor among you and are over you in the Lord, and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for the work's sake, and be at peace among yourselves.
That's Bible truth. Now, I had all these scriptures read because I want to establish, first of all, amen, that the pastor is the physical head of the church. He is over all the church, over every office, over every officer, over every department. He is the head. That is a Bible principle that is laid down in the scripture. And the Bible tells us here in Thessalonians that they are over you. They are over you. The Greek word for that, and brother, again, Brother Wyatt, probably better at that than I, means to set over, to be at the head of, to be the chief. Somebody said, you holiness preachers are a bunch of dictators. Well, I don't like it in that sense. Come on here. But we are the under-shepherd of the shepherd. Hallelujah. And the Bible said that we must give account unto God. That puts a fear in our hearts to be sure that we are right, to be sure that we lead you right, to give you the principles of Scripture. Now, I want to tell you something. Amen. Recently in our country, I'm in trouble right now. Recently in our country, a younger pastor, amen, in a certain fellowship meeting, youth rally, whatever it was, amen, got up and said, oh, we should never preach anything, amen, to our church people that you cannot find a Bible verse against it. I said, you can't find tobacco in the Bible. You can't find television in the Bible. You can't find the internet in the Bible. Am I doing all right now? But there are principles. There are divine principles. There is divine order that God has put in the book. Hallelujah. Somebody say amen now. And when you violate God's principles, amen, you have taken the authority away from God. You have taken the authority away from the pastor. You have taken the authority, amen, away from everybody else. And you do that which is right in your own eyes. For their work's sake. For the work of the ministry and the edifying of the church. Now, I'm finally getting down to the meat I want to talk to you about. As the second man, whether you are an associate, assistant, second man, helper, youth pastor, youth leader, deacon, elder, director, or any other office or officer in the church, the second man is to serve at the pleasure of the first man, the pastor. You are under the authority of that pastor. Come on here. Now, I want to tell you, I may lose some of you here this morning, but it's okay. I've lost folks before. Amen. You are under the authority of that pastor. Come on here. Now, I want to tell you, I may lose some of you here this morning, but it's okay. I've lost folks before. Amen. If I, a pastor in my own right, among my own church, at home in Virginia, go to Missouri, come on here, amen, and sitting in the congregation in Brother Joey Heights Church, I am under him. Help me here.
Come on. That's right.
If that pastor, if Joey Height, he probably wouldn't, but he might. Knowing Joey Height, there's nothing Joey Height wouldn't do.
Right.
If Joey Height said, Brother Savage, amen, we got a commode stopped up out there in the men's room. Would you get a plunger, find a plunger, and go get that unstopped? I am under obligation to do that. He's the pastor. Is it in the closet? Okay. You, no matter who you are under the authority of the local pastor whenever you go there. As Elisha, you minister to or serve him as unto the Lord. Hallelujah. Not just because it's Joey Height, because of what Joey Height represents. Christ, the head of the church, he being the under shepherd. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And I'm there and I say, praise God. Are y'all still with me? I've been to meetings, amen, and I just do not preach when I go to special meetings. I really do it. I just like to go and just be preached to, just to be there, just be in fellowship. But there's been a few times that I've been to special meetings, and pastor come by and say, Brother Savage, I'd like for you to preach this morning. But I'd like for you to preach on this and this and this subject. Come on here. I've had lots of requests to preach on the homing pigeon. Come on here. I remember going to Brother William Strickler. Brother Lee's here this morning. Brother William Strickler's years ago. And he was in his annual meeting. And I come in, he got me aside and he said, Brother Savage, I'd like for you to preach on the homing pigeon this morning. Well, really? That wasn't on my heart. That wasn't what I really thought. If I was called on, I'd preach. But because he's the pastor. I lost you right there. I lost you right there. Because he's the pastor. I preached on the homing pigeon. I am under the authority of that local head of the church. Now, if you are an associate, assistant, youth leader, deacon, elder, helper, youth pastor, director, come on here, you have one responsibility, and that is to honor and to serve at the pleasure of the pastor. Now, John Adams, my admiration when I studied this the last couple, two or three weeks, my admiration for John Adams went higher than it had ever been before. He was vice president. He supported in the Senate because the vice president is the president of the Senate. Are y'all still with me? He supported in the Senate the president's policies, although he disagreed with some of those policies personally, but because it was the president's policies, he supported it and promoted it, and the Senate never knew that he disagreed with the pastor or with the president. Man, how many of y'all like to have that kind of assistant pastor? Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. And that's all we know about Elisha until after Elijah was gone. He was never in the limelight. He was never out front. He served and waited on Elijah. Amen. Now I want to say something right here. Amen. If you are a youth pastor, a youth leader, or an associate, or an assistant, or the second man, or a helper, or a deacon, you never know what the future is going to hold. And you want to be smart and wise while you are under that authority. Take notes. Observe. Come on here. Observe how that pastor handles difficult problems and difficult situations. Because after a while, you're going to need them. Huh? Timothy allowed Pastor Paul to mentor him for a whole life. Luke assisted Paul on numerous occasions. Amen. And insomuch that Paul said on one occasion, only Luke is with me. Demas has forsaken me. Amen. One winter, Aristarchus. That's not it. It's not right. Went somewhere, but it wasn't there. Amen. But he said, only is with me. You never hear Luke say anything. You never hear Luke preaching a message when he was with Paul. You never, come on here, you never see or hear of Luke doing anything outside of assisting and ministering to the needs of Paul. Luke wrote one of the Gospels. Come on here. But when he was with Paul, he was Paul's helper. The second man, I'll say again, the second man is not supposed to be in the limelight. All that Elisha ever did while Elijah was alive was pour water on the hands of Elijah. His day had not come. He waited patiently. He waited. Somebody said, Brother Sabbath, well, so-and-so's got a ministry of their own. He waited. Man, did I ever more appreciate Brother Meadows preaching this morning. He waited on God. His day was not yet. He had to wait till God promoted him. The relationship. Man. The time's up. I'll have to finish it tomorrow. But let me give you this. I just got a you know, continued story to whet your appetite and see what's this, the next episode's going to be. The relationship should be a compliment to the pastor. That second man should anticipate what the pastor's next move is going to be. He should know him. I told Ben and Ricky both, amen, my grandson here this morning as well, I told him, I said, get in my brain. Come on here. Know what makes me tick. Amen. Know how I think. As long as you're locally under me in this church, you need to know what direction I'm getting ready to take this message in. Come on here. You should anticipate the needs of the pastor. You can look at him and tell he needs a drink of water. I lost some of you.
Oh, let somebody else do that little menial job.
Elisha poured water on the hands of Elijah. Learn to turn out the lights. Learn to turn on the lights. Learn to lock the doors where the pastor doesn't have to do it all. Come on here. I heard recently a story, amen, about a pastor in a certain church, and some of you may know more about this than I do. I just heard it secondhand, so if you know the real story, tell it to me after church. Amen. The pastor did everything. He had to do everything. Nobody would do anything. They left it all up to the pastor. Hey, come on here. Pull the toilet tissue in the bathrooms. Paper towels in the bathroom. The pastor did it. Turn the lights on. The pastor did it. Unlock the doors. The pastor did it. Come on, y'all stay with me. And the pastor got sick and wound up in the hospital. And the people went to church. The doors was locked. The lights wasn't on. No tissue in the restrooms. Come on, come on, come on. Don't y'all look at me like that. Amen. And they come to the realization the pastor needed some help. Be the pastor's right hand. Amen. Sometimes the pastor's got so many irons in the fire, he can't do everything. He's just one man. He needs a right hand. Somebody said, but that's just pouring water in a water basin for him. Ah, the glory to God, look at the rewards. The Bible said if you just give a cup of cold water, amen, that's glory to God. Amen, you'll get a prophet's reward just by giving a cup of cold water. How much more would you get if you washed his hands? You mean he's so lazy he won't even wash his own hands? That has nothing to do with it. You are serving. You are fulfilling your position and responsibility. The pastor needs help. If the pastor asked you to, go to hospital. But I was planning a weenie roast this evening with my family. How many outings had the pastor had to put on the back burner? Come on here. Because the demand of the ministry requires first. And if you as an assistant or youth leader, youth pastor, associate, come on here, helper, amen, deacon, whoever you might would be in the local church, amen. If you are asked to go to the hospital and visit so-and-so, amen, drop everything. I said, I ain't not doing it, you old goat. you'll miss the reward. The nursing home needs somebody to go to the nursing home this week. Oh, they stink. There ain't many nursing homes I've ever been in that didn't have an odor to them. Not a pleasant one either. Come on here. Hey, Brother Savage, I'll preach for you Tuesday night. I don't need you Tuesday night. I need you to go to the nursing home. Be ready to serve as Elisha served. And your day will come. And God will promote you as our brother preached to us this morning. I have been an associate in my lifetime. I have had associates, helpers. And I'm not speaking to you this morning as a novice. I'm speaking to you from experience that you are not the pastor. You are to help in any way that you possibly can. You know, a good way to give your pastor a heart attack and get him in the hospital and out of commission for 3 weeks, just go up to him and say, Brother Pastor, amen. Is there anything you want me to do? Just name it. Man, I'm going to quit. Amen. I'm already. I'll finish it. But I want to tell you, I want to deal tomorrow. I've talked to you about some things, but I want to deal with you tomorrow about some negatives. I've talked to you about some positive side of the second man. I want to talk to you about some negatives, some things you don't do. Amen.